Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one tonight, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service tonight. In the name of the Lord, praise God. And you know, I was really thinking what I bring tonight, and there's so many things on Sunday morning, more to what I preached, what I didn't get to preach. And I really believe the Lord did say some things to us to bring that. And I just want to maybe continue a bit on the night from some of the things from Sunday morning. And we're going to read Ephesians 6 verse 12, but our part of our reading was from Luke 5, 17 to 26. But for the way of time, the night we'll read just one verse from Ephesians 6 verse 12. But you know the scripture in Luke 5 verse 17 to 26 is about the man with the palsy, and that word means to be paralyzed. And there's so many things in that part of the Bible, because they had let him down through the roof, and the power of the Lord was present. And then the scribes and Pharisees, they were wild upset because of what Jesus done. But the man was paralyzed, and the Lord unparalyzed him. He was carried in, and he walked out. He come in stiff, and he went out loose. He had all the mental faculties in his thinking what he would do, but he wasn't able to do it because something would held him. And hence the title: would either the devil will paralyze your faith, or else you'll paralyze his. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's just bow our heads again for a word of prayer. And there's so many people need a touch from the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we indeed have this privilege as the people of God, that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, we come tonight pleading the merits of the blood of the Lamb. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb over our lives, over our homes, and over this house tonight. Yes. And over all in it, and all that's near and dear to us this evening, we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, ask you'll help us with your word tonight. Ask that you'll touch hearts and lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray again for Brother Keith with that sickness, that you'll take it from him. Paralyze the devil over his life. Release him. And set our brother keep free. Loose the Holy Ghost to come upon our brother, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose your blessing to come upon our brother, I pray. Father, touch others tonight, young David as well. Touch him as well. Any others that need your touch, touch them. And the ones that Gary's prayed for, touch every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, we say amen to what's already been prayed tonight. Now, Father, I know we need the Holy Ghost more than anything. And I take that Holy Spirit by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, undertake for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm going to have to try and go easy. And that's hard for me. That's a job on its own self. But I'm going to have to, because, you know, I'm fighting the hoarseness, and there's so many people taking sick. And you know, you always find when people take sick, the wee voice says, "You'll be next." Isn't that right? Well, I'm going to take a healing. How's it with catching a healing? Amen. But this, for us, is a faith. This man was paralyzed. And I tell you, when somebody's paralyzed, they need a miracle. Nothing short of a miracle will do. A pep talk won't work. A lecture won't do it either. It'll take a miracle. And if you're going to have to need a miracle, you're going to need the man that works them. And there's a man that works miracles today. And his name is Jesus. He's a miracle worker. And he was a miracle worker 2,000 years ago. And he's a miracle worker tonight, for the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that he's the same yesterday, today and forever. He is the miracle worker, Jesus Christ. Now there's many examples in the Bible of people who had their faith paralyzed. Now I'm only going to take a few of them because I don't want to be very long tonight. But one example, and a good example, Samson. He definitely had his paralyzed. Do many agree with me? You say, oh no, it was all for a reason. It was, but he still had it paralyzed anyhow. Whether it's for a reason or not, he still got it paralyzed. Well, a woman paralyzed Samson's faith. And you can read it in Judges 16, verse 15 to 30. And you read of a woman that he fell in love with, Delilah. Isn't it quite amazing that the television uses Delilah for a wee adverts of that? Then they say they don't believe the Bible. You see how many things the world uses from the Bible, but they claim they don't believe the Bible. Because they know there's power with God's word. There's power with it. There's a catch with. But Samson, you see, was a mighty prophet of God. Samson was anointed of God. And when Samson was born, Samson had something unique. That was 7 locks of hair that his parents were told never to shave off. For them 7 locks is his Nazarite vow. Don't shave the 7 locks. For when you shave the 7 locks, the power of God will go. People say you can never lose the anointing. Go on YouTube, users, and listen to a sermon preached by David Wilkerson. And he preaches a message about losing anointing. And I'll tell you, it's some message. Spurgeon also talks about losing the scent. The dear Brother Brian might have mentioned it a couple of times. I have it wrote somewhere in one of my Bibles. About the deer losing the scent. Not the deer, the hound. Loses the scent of the deer. And when the hound loses the scent of the deer, even though the hound is a tremendous dog, and he can pick up a scent where there's practically no scent, when he loses the scent of the deer, he can't pick it up again because he's lost the scent. And I tell you, Samson was told never to shave these 7 locks. This is your Nazarite vow. But a woman called Delilah, and you could spiritualize that tonight. I haven't got time to do it all. But you could spiritualize and go into these things far more. But I'm just wanting to bring someone across to your thinking tonight. Delilah's first job she done when she got him on her knee. And her head, she got his head in her lap. She got him where he was half sleeping. And that's what's wrong with God's people today. They're half asleep. Half asleep. They think they don't need to pray like they used to. They think they don't need to read the word of God like they used to. Because the devil has them half sleeping. It's like Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress and the Journey. And if you ever read Pilgrim's Progress, they fell asleep along the road. And it was going to take something to waken them. And God's people today need to be wakened. Because there's a spiritual Delilah has them on the lap. And she has them near sleeping. And Elijah, you know, she said to Samson, tell me wherein your great strength lies. And you know, all the different three different times he told her, but he never told her the truth. And on the three different occasions when she shouted, the Philistines are upon thee, he rose up, you know, with a tired of sand, and he broke them, and it was like flax and the sands and all the rest. You know the story. But eventually she said, Samson, you don't really love me. If you really love me, Samson, tell me the truth. And then Samson eventually told her the truth. And she wrapped Samson over and loved him, Samson, that much, till she got him sleeping. And I tell you, the spirit of a Delilah gets a hold of you right, she'll put you to sleep. She'll put you out cold. And when she puts you out cold, she'll shave you. And you'll not know you're shaved until you waken. And then it'll be too late. And Samson never knew he was shaved till he was wakened. And she shouted again, the Philistines be upon ye. And he rose as he would before, but he wist not. That's what it says here in Judges. Let's just read it. I'll read it for you. Verse 28. Let's go back a bit. Verse 21. Right on back. It's about verse 18. Verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called Judges 16, verse 18. Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. And then the lords of the Philistines come up unto her, and brought money in unto her, and she made him sleep upon her knee, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And I tell you, people play about with things, and they think it'll be alright. We know the Lord's always with us. But I tell you one thing, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby you're saved unto the day of redemption. And Samson wist not the Spirit of God was gone from him, and he was paralyzed from the strength he had. Are you following me tonight? A strength that could slay 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass was gone. A strength that you take a full grown lion and rip him in two was gone. Read all the exploits of Samson, and his strength was gone. And you read all these scriptures, and they took him down and they blinded him. See, when the devil paralyzes you, he won't stop there. He'll blind you as well. And there's so many people today, and they say, we believe the message, we believe the message, we believe the message. But what are they really preaching? What are they preaching? If they're not preaching according to the law of the prophets, no matter what their claim is, the Bible says there's no light within them. That's the word of God. And the enemy took his strength away. Samson did it himself, really. He allowed it to happen. And then the enemy blinded him. But Samson did something that every one of us can do. He turned back to the Lord. Samson turned back to the Lord. And I love this. Let's go down the story for a moment tonight. Verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. And strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I might at this once be avenged of my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two pillars upon the house that stood, in which it was a barn borne up or held up, and the one with its right hand and the other with its left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistine. He bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the death which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his whole life. He called on the Lord. You could read also of Jonah, same story. It's the same thing. Jonah went the wrong road. Jonah done the opposite of what God told him. God never told Jonah to go for he went. How many knows that? He went the opposite way. And he ended up getting thrown overboard on the boat, on the ship, and the whale swallowed him. And he did what Samson did. He cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. And that which was paralyzed became unparalyzed. And that which Samson had lost was restored again, because he cried unto the Lord. When Samson and Jonah both realized there was only one hope, was to call upon the name of the Lord, then they realized that something had happened. Psalms 50 verse 15. Call upon me, God's soul, number 515. Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I shall deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. And they called unto the Lord. Now I'm only taking these two examples tonight. There's many other examples in the Bible. Many of them. And they called unto the Lord. And I tell you, you can't tell me tonight that Samson wasn't in distress, because I'll prove to you he was. Because he had his eyes burnt out of his head. You can't tell me tonight that Jonah wasn't in distress, but I'll prove to you that he was. For the Bible says he cried out of the valley of hell. No. He was tormented, but God delivered him. I want you to look at these three things again, which I told you I believe God gave me. The first one was, what the devil doesn't want you to know is who you are. The devil wants you to forget who you are. You say, who I am. Yes. You hear people saying they found themselves. Many's ever heard that. A lot of people in the world say such and one found themselves. And people laugh at that, and that's true. But yet with all, you need to know who you are. I tell you, Samson knew he was a man of God. Samson's parents knew he was different, because God told them he was going to be different. But somewhere along the track, that had been forgotten. But when Samson realized again who he was, and he called on the Lord, look what happened. And we need to know who we are. You say who we are. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Now I know I'm repeating some things on Sunday. I'm not apologizing for that. I'm feeling led to. The second thing is that the enemy doesn't want you to realize who God is. He wants you to doubt God. Not only does the enemy want you to doubt God, he wants you to doubt the very existence of God. Paul the Apostle says that they don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. Well, when Samson and Jonah realized again, we're the Lord's servants, and they called on the Lord, and they realized who God was. He's the Lord God Almighty. Almighty God. He's not just our God. He is the one true God. There's a difference. There's gods, small gods. There's lots that claim to be gods. He's the God of this evil age. But there's only one true God. He is Almighty God. He's the one that said, let there be light. And there was light. He's the one that says that he holds the breath you breathe in the palm of his hand. He's Almighty God. The very winds and waves obey him because he is Almighty God. He is the Lord of all glory. Then the third thing was that the enemy wants you to doubt the word of God. And God's word to Samson was, never ever take the seven locks out. And when the seven locks were restored, the strength came back. And God does not want you to doubt his word. But the enemy does. The enemy wants you to doubt that you're not saved. He'll even send preachers to preach saved and lost sermons. I hate them type. Now you can be quiet in here if you want. I don't care less. I'm preaching the truth. I'm not a Methodist. Because I don't believe in saved and lost. I'm a Holy Ghost Pentecostal.
Amen.
I believe when God saves you, he does the job right the first time. And you're saved for all eternity. How many believes that tonight? Well, there's a whole lot going about today when they're finished with you preaching. They'll not know why you're in or out. They'll not know why you're up or down. You see these men here, they might have lost the strength and everything, but God brought it back to them, didn't he? David never said, save me again. David said, restore the joy of my salvation. For he always was saved. The devil wants you to doubt God's word. He wants you to doubt you're really a Christian. And he wants you to doubt that you never had the Holy Spirit. He wants you to doubt. Because he wants to paralyze you. And he wants to blind you. When he blinds you, you'll stop reading this book. And I'll tell you, when the devil stops God's people from reading this book, he'll have plenty of more magazines for you to read. But I'll tell you what, they're the ones that Wigglesworth told the boy, leave them outside in the hedge. And the hedge represents thorns. Amen. They come from the curse. The enemy's nothing good for me and you. Don't pat the devil. Don't pat any of his wee diseases or any of his stuff. Don't pat them. Don't call it my asthma. Don't call it my cold. It's not yours. It's the devil's. Give it back to him. Don't call it mine. Call the Holy Ghost yours.
Yes, amen.
Call the Lord yours.
Amen.
But all that other stuff he wants to put on you, don't call it mine. Deny it. It's not yours. It's a lie. Amen. Let me read you this. I had to get this again because this blessed me that much. I did this out again. Many times the enemy doesn't want us to see this, that he can paralyze our faith. But he'll try and do it. Listen to this. But we're too slow. Our minds are sluggish. The valves have been stopped up. They've been paralyzed by unbelief. And fear and doubt. And it can't flow free like it should do it. Unless we let the Holy Spirit so dominate our lives. Till it pushes those valves. Till the light begins to start operating. See, then we can see them. Sure, it's the Father. And you know, and you fellas that know about cars, if the injectors don't work right, she doesn't run right. She's no power, she's hopeless. But if you can get her going on all six cylinders, if she's a six cylinder, and you can get the fuel to her. Now I know a man years ago, and he had a tractor. She was a certain Davy Brown tractor, but his neighbour told me there was no other Davy Browns of that model could pull like that tractor. And I worked for this man, and I said to him one day, I said, Norman, how come your tractor seems to have a bit more of an edge than most of the other tractors of that model? And he says, that's simple. Says, I had a smaller Davy Brown than that one. And when we bought that new one, brand new, on the Davy Brown company brought her out here, after a week I rang them up and told them you better come back out and take her back. And they sent the mechanic out and the salesman out, and they said, Norman, why are you sending the tractor back? I think it was 12-12 and he had a 9, whatever the number was. What's the other numbers below the 12-12? 900 or 966 or whatever. So they're smaller, aren't they, John? She was smaller, and he told the boy, you see that 9, whatever it was, it would hit that 12-12. There's no power in that 12-12 compared to my wee smaller one. And the boy says, oh, so you're talking nonsense. He says, I'm not. And he says, well, I'm telling you now. He says, look, there's a seal in them pumps. And if you alter it from the factory, which is not under the warranty. But he says, between me and you, I'm going to alter it. But you never let on she was altered. And he talked to her with a set of spanners. I don't know much about what he'd done, only that he opened her up. He gave her a couple of screws. He opened her up at the pump so that she got more fuel. When he gave her that much fuel, now this is a fact when I'm telling you, because I've seen it. If you were on the summer nights when it was coming on the edge of dark, and he had her flat out cutting in the 10-acre field for he had her, she would redden the exhaust red with heat. So much so that he had to weld a bar on it to keep it from bending. That's the well he had opened out of the pump. And she never blew up. He opened her out. And here's what William Branham's saying. He's using the word valves. Here's what he's saying. He's saying they've been paralyzed by unbelief and fear and doubt, and it can't flow like it should flow. The Holy Ghost can't flow like it should flow. Tradition can stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. Unbelief can stop the flow of the Holy Spirit, but we want the Holy Spirit to flow. Let's get the valves open and the throttle back, and let the Holy Spirit move. Let God have his way. We don't want to be paralyzed Christians, stiff Christians, but we want to be free Christians that's not paralyzed, but Christians that know who we are. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God's given us Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's God's word. That's God's authority. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the word of God. But the devil doesn't want you to know that. He never wants you to pray for somebody. He wants you to keep calling the doctor. Now I'm not telling you it's wrong to call a doctor, but some of the doctors I've seen lately are a waste of time. But I know a doctor that I call, and he's never lost a case. His name's Jesus. Amen. I'm going to remind you in a moment tonight about some of the things about God's word. Let me, as I've done this evening, and I'm not going to hold you as long, the time's going already. I want you to think in this for a moment, what I'm saying tonight. Look at this second thought, what I've said to you. Satan is trying to get you to doubt who God is. They deny the virgin birth today. Well, they're not saved then. You cannot deny the virgin birth and be born again. It's impossible. How many believes that? I tell you, that's the truth. And the third thought, as we're trying to get you to doubt God's word, not we, but the devil is. Now I want you to think of this, and I looked at the dictionary for these words, because I often use these words a lot, the unadulterated word of God. How many's ever heard me say it all the time? The word of God is unadulterated. It is infallible. Now listen to me. Think of what God said about his word. Remember, God's word is the holy infallible. Infallible means absolutely trustworthy or sure. So God's word is absolutely trustworthy. God's word is absolutely sure. Does not remind you of Hebrews where he says he could swear by no greater. He swear by himself. Unfailing ineffectiveness or operation, except from liability or error. So when somebody says, brother so-and-so is a good brother, but certain parts that don't agree with wasn't scriptural, then that's where he left God. Are you here? Are you listening? There's no error in God's word. Somebody can preach a message and have a degree of error in it, but the word of God has no degree of error. It's infallible. Absolutely infallible. It's unadulterated. That means, unadulterated means it's not diluted. I'm made impure by adulterating, but it's an absolute. It's an absolute. And Brother Branham preached a sermon all about the absolute. Isn't it amazing that you never hear him once saying it was him? He never once said that, but people are preaching it. But God's prophet never once said that. They say we believe the prophet's message, but they're not preaching what that prophet preached. They're preaching the prophet, but they're not preaching what he preached. God never said preach the prophet. God said preach Jesus Christ. The prophet said, don't look to me, I'm just your brother. I point you to Jesus Christ. That's who he pointed us to. Paul said the same. But God's word's unadulterated. It's an absolute. The word of God's an absolute. It can't fail. It can't change. Look what God says about his word. In Exodus 15:26, he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now the devil doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to doubt that. And he wants you to doubt God that said that. But the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And the Brother Branham made a statement. He said, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And the Lord that healeth thee. 1 Peter 2:24 says, whose own self bore our sins and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Past tense. He already done it. When did the Lord pay for your salvation? 2,000 years ago on the cross. Nobody believes that. He paid for 2,000 years ago. Don't let the devil paralyze you no longer. The devil is a liar. Not only is he a liar, but this absolute tells me he's a father of lies. It goes further as well. It tells us that the children of the world have no light in them. And it says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Where do evil deeds come from? The Father. Now we know God's light. God is light. Not only is God light, he's love. God is love. And the Lord loves you tonight. And you're not saved tonight because you have been a good boy or a good girl. That's not what saves you. That is not what saves me. We are saved because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is not one good, no, not one. There's none righteous. How many know what the Bible says? There's not one righteous. Jesus Christ, the only one. And we are saved because of what he done. That's why we're saved. Now we do believe in living right for God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil paralyze you no more. Turn it. Turn it around. You say, I can't do it. You can. Samson done it. Yes, God helped him. Yes, I know it wasn't God's plan. So's your life. You remember you're reading this words written here for our admiration. You say, but that was God's plan. God's a plan for you. Just like God had a plan for Samson, God's a plan for you. God's a plan for me. How many believe that tonight? Turn on the enemy. Don't let him paralyze your fear no more, but break loose. Call on the name of the Lord. Cry to the Lord. I'm telling you, brother and sister, tonight, prayer changes things. I know what I'm preaching about. Prayer changes things. And when you get sincere and seek God, things will happen. What you never thought could happen. Because God is on his throne. Let's come and pray tonight.